بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Okay, today this is our session number 6. Session number 6, reading from the Sharh. شرح كتاب دروس اللغة العربية لغير الناطقين بها. يعني the book, lessons in Arabic language for non-Arabic speakers. الجزء الأول تعليف دكتور دفاع عبد الرحيم وشرحه حسين بن أحمد بن عبد الله آلي علي المدرس بمعهد تعليم اللغة العربية بالجامعة الإسلامية. So today this is our sixth session, reading from the explanation, the sharh of the lessons in Arabic language for non-Arabic speakers, the first volume, book 1, authored by Dr. Fahd Abd Rahim, and the explanation is by Al-Ustadh Hussein ibn Ahmed ibn Abdullah Ali Ali, who is a teacher, mudarris, in the Mahad for Arabic language at the Islamic University of Medina, Arabic Language Institute, Islamic University of Medina. Today, inshallah, we're going to be taking the next two lessons, that is, lesson number 11 and lesson number 12. Lesson number 11 is on page 16. That's what we're going to start with. And then lesson 12 is on two pages, page 17 and 18. But before we read from the first lesson for today, I just want to quickly review some of the points that we covered in the previous session, in session number 5, that is, الدرسو التاسعو, the 9th lesson, and الدرسو العاشرو, the 10th lesson. Okay, so the points that we covered in lesson number 9, the most important point, very, very fundamental point in the Arabic language, is النعتو والمنعوتو, يعني the adjective and the noun that it qualifies. النعت والمنعوت. And this is, as we said previously, sometimes referred to as الصفتو والموصوفو. Same meaning, the adjective and the noun that it qualifies. The rule concerning the نعت and منعوت is on the bottom of page 13. It says, النعتو, last line on the bottom of the page, النعتو يتبع المنعوت. The adjective follows, يعني is in agreement with the منعوت, the noun that it is qualifying, in the following areas. Number one, في التذكير والتعنيف, that is, in being مذكر and مؤنث, مذكر ومؤنث, masculine or feminine. التعريف والتنكير, يعني in being definite or indefinite, معرفة ونكرة. والإعراب, and also in إعراب, in terms of يعني the case endings of being مرفوع ومنصوب ومجرور, يعني being in the nominative case, the genitive case, or the accusative case. And finally, a number, الإفراد, يعني being singular, or التثنية, being dual, or الجمع, being plural. In these four areas, the not, the adjective, must agree with the word that it is qualifying or describing. Okay, four areas. Masculine or feminine, first one. Second one, definite or indefinite. The third one, in i'rab, in its case ending. And the last one, which we haven't dealt with up until now, is in number. Al-ifrad, yani being mufrad, singular. Al-tathniya, being muthanna, dual. Or al-jama', yani the plural. So, we had many examples of this. Anybody can go back to review. This is a very important lesson, and this is a very important point. Please make sure you understand it, that the adjective must be in agreement with the noun that is qualifying. If that man'ut, the noun being qualified, is feminine, then the adjective must also be feminine. And if it is definite, it must also be definite. If it is marfu'un, it must be marfu'un like it. If it is singular, it must be singular like it. The second point that we took in this lesson is al-ism, al-ismu al-mawsoolu, yani the relative pronoun. And here, the one that we took here is the masculine singular form of the relative pronoun, al-ladhi. And in lesson 12, today, inshallah, we'll be reviewing the feminine counterpart of it, التي. So it says here, second half of the page, الذي, in the line underneath the title الذي, it says الذي is اسم موصول للمفرد المذكر العاقل وغير العاقل. يعني الذي is اسم موصول, يعني a relative pronoun that's used for المفرد, the singular, not the dual or plural. المذكر, the masculine, not the feminine. And it's used for both عاقل and غير عاقل. If it's used for عاقل, human being, we say الذي means who. And if it's used for غير عاقل, non-human, then we say the meaning of الذي is which or that which. The one who or that which. Okay, and we saw many examples of this as well. What is important here is to know that the ism al-mawsool, yani it can be, yani the word that it is coming after, that it is giving more information about, it has to be in agreement with it in being, yani masculine or feminine, singular, dual or plural, as well. Now, okay, after this, there were just a couple of other points that are in the English key of the original Medina books that are not mentioned in this sharh. So one of them in the English key on page 21 at the bottom of the page, the second point after it discusses na'at and manut, on the bottom of the page it says adjectives ending in ana have no tanween. That is, the adjective al-wasf al-makhtum that ends with alif wa noon za'idatain, yani the alif and the noon that is extra added to the root letters of the word. The adjective that has alif and noon added as extra letters to the root letters of the word is mamnu' min as-sarf. Yani it is a diptote. That means it doesn't take tanween. And when it is in the genitive case, majroor, it doesn't take kasra as a sign of it being majroor. Rather, it takes fatha. Okay, so the adjective that has two extra letters, alif and noon added to the end of it, like kaslanu, jaw'anu, عطشانو, and so on, غضبانو. And we see that in غضبان, غين, ضاد, and باء are the root letters, three root letters, and then there's an extra alif and noon. In these cases, such an adjective is ممنوع من الصرف. يعني it's a diptote, it doesn't take tanween. In the second part of the English key on page 23, we also see a couple of other points. We see الذي, which we discussed already, and we see that the adjective qualifying a definite noun must also be definite. We already mentioned that. It has to agree with it in being definite or indefinite. And then, there are two other points mentioned here. Number three, it says that when lam with kasra, li, yani the preposition li, when it's used with a noun, having alif lam, the alif of the alif lam is omitted. So, for example, al-imamu, if you wanted to say li al-imamu, then you take off the alif from the definite article. Instead of saying li al-imam, you say lil imam. Al-mudarrisu, alil, yani al-mudarrisu, if you add li to it, you don't say li al-mudarris, but you say lil mudarrisi. And the last point that they mentioned on page 23, part B of the English key, for lesson 9, is the word inda, which is a dharf al-makan, yani an adjective of place. Like tahta and fawka and amama and khalfa, the noun following it has kasra ending. That is, it's considered to be mudafun ilayhi majroor. The sign that is majroor is kasra. Okay, so that's what we covered, yani in terms of lesson 9. As far as lesson 10 primarily deals with pronouns. There are several points in this lesson that we covered in the sharh review. The first point is الضمائر, yani pronouns. الضمائر, that's the plural of ضمير. So, in this lesson we saw that the ضمائر, it says under the title الضمائر, it says on page 14, top of the page, الضمائر ثلاثة. Pronouns are three, yani three types of pronouns. المتكلم, the first person, the speaker. Al-mukhatabu, the second person or the one being spoken to. And al-ghaibu, the third person or the one that is being spoken about. And then they gave us the pronouns for al-mutakallim, ana, yani the unattached pronoun, ana. And then they gave us ya al-mutakallim, as in the word bayti, the ya that's attached to the end of a noun, representing the first person or the speaker. They gave us the unattached pronoun for the second person, anta, and they gave it as an attached pronoun, as in the word baytuka, the ka. For the ghaib, third person, they gave us huwa as an unattached pronoun, and as an attached pronoun, they gave us hu as in the word baytuhu. Okay, so these are the three divisions of the dhamaya. That is, this is one way of looking at the pronouns, that they're divided into first person, second person, and third person. Al-mutakallimu, al-mukhatabu, and al-ghaibu. After that, they listed, yani, the attached forms of the pronoun. They listed the attached forms of the pronoun for the mutakallim, which is for al-mudhakkar al-mu'annith, masculine and feminine. They showed us ya al-mutakallim, the ya that's attached to the end of a noun. And it is always preceded by kasra. It represents the first person singular, ana, yani, I. And they gave us examples of that. And then they gave us the second person, al-mukhatab, for the masculine, mudhakkar, ka, as in baytuka. For the mukhatab, al-mu'annath, feminine, they gave us ki, as in baytuki. Then they gave us the third person, al-ghaibu. For al-mudhakkar, they gave us the pronoun hu, as in baytuhu. And for al-ghaib, al-mu'annath, they gave us the pronoun ha, as in baytuha. So these forms of the pronoun are all singular forms. First person, which is for masculine and feminine. Second person masculine, second person feminine, ka and ki. Third person masculine, third person feminine, hu and ha. And we'll see later on that the rest of the pronouns, personal pronouns, yani the unattached pronouns like ana and hu and hiya, and the attached pronouns like yani baytuhu, baytuha, baytuka, baytuki. We'll see that the rest of the forms of both personal pronouns and possessive pronouns will be given in the following lessons. Yani in lesson 11, 12, 13, 14, and 15. Primarily, the pronouns are given in 10, 12, 13, 14, and 15. The only pronouns that we had previous to this are in lesson 4. In that lesson, we had the separate, unattached pronouns, yani, which are sometimes referred to as personal pronouns, ana, anta, huwa, and hiya, singular forms of the pronouns for first person, second person masculine, and third person masculine and feminine, singular forms. So the plurals and the attached pronouns, which are sometimes known as possessive pronouns, as in the word baytuka, which represents possession, your house, baytuhu, his house, baytuha, her house. The rest of the forms of the pronouns, personal pronouns, which are unattached, and possessive pronouns, which are attached, are given in lessons 10, 12, 13, 14, and 15. So we'll be seeing all of them in the lessons that follow. The second point of lesson 12 is the word indi and li. Indi and li. Indi is a dharf al-makan, and it's always used in idhafa. So it's going to be the mudhaf, and the word following it is going to be mudhafun ilayhi, majroor, and the primary sign of a word being majroor, yani in the genitive case, is kasra. They said here under the title at the bottom of page 14, indi and li, they said indi is li ghayr al-aqil, and li is for lil-aqili. Yani, so indi is used when you are showing, yani, when you're dealing with things that are ghayr al-aqil, yani with items like a book, a watch, a bicycle, and so on. And li is used with people like ukht, akh, ibn, ab, and like this. Okay, so they gave us examples of each of these. And then on the following page 15, we dealt with the word ma'a. The word ma'a. Ma'a is also dharf al-makan, an adverb of place, and it's also always used in idhafa. So it's going to be mudhaf, and the word that follows it is always going to be mudhafan ilayhi, majroor. And the sign that is majroor is that the primary sign of being majroor is kasra. So you see at the bottom of this page 15, the rule for ma'a, it says, ma'a is dharfu makanin, an adverb of place. Wal ismu alladhi ba'dahu majroorun bil kasrati. And the noun which follows it is going to be majroor in the genitive case with kasra. Yani the sign of it being genitive is kasra. And the reason why it's majroor is because it is مضاف إليه. ما ظرف المكان is always used as a مضاف. So the word following it is going to be مضاف إليه. Okay, so in this lesson they showed us ما with different examples, and they showed us in the middle of the page and in the example of ما خالدين. ما خالدين. And they said ما is the مضاف and خالدين is مضاف إليه, and that's why it's مجرور. The last point of this lesson is in the second bottom half of the page, العلم المذكر المختوم بتاء التأنيث لا ينون. يعني العلم المذكر means the masculine proper noun. العلم means a proper noun, and المذكر is masculine. The masculine proper noun, يعني the names of men, of males, when they end with ta marbuta. Al-makhtumu means it's closed or sealed with ta'i at-ta'anithi, also known as ta marbuta. Ta at-ta'anith means the ta, yani which represents femininity. The masculine proper noun that ends with ta at-ta'anith or ta marbuta, la yunawwanu, means it doesn't take tanween. Doesn't take tanween because this is from the class of nouns that are mamnu' min sarf. They're diptotes, they don't take tanween. And if they are majrur, in the place where they should be majrur, when they are majrur, instead of taking kasra in its place, they take kasra as the sign of it being majrur or in the genitive case. And then they gave examples of masculine proper nouns that take tanween, and they gave us examples of masculine proper nouns that end with ta, ta'anif, the ta that indicates femininity, or ta marbuta, the closed ta or round ta, and they show how they do not take tanween. Okay, that's what we covered last week. And I hope that everybody, yani, has comprehended fully, yani, what we covered in these two lessons. Let's go on now to the lessons for today. The first lesson we're going to take today is lesson number 11. Lesson number 11 is originally a review lesson. And if you were to look in the English key, then you'll see that they said this is a revision lesson. It contains only two new words. Uhibbu, the verb uhibbu means I love, and the pronouns who and how when they're connected to the preposition fi. Yani, so who becomes yani fi plus who becomes fi he. Yani, the dhamma becomes kasra because whenever who is preceded by a word that ends with kasra or ya with sukoon, the who becomes he, and likewise whom becomes him, and so on. Then they showed us the pronoun ha, third person feminine singular for here, also connected to the preposition fi, and it remains in its normal condition, fi ha, fi and fi ha. This is what they said came in this lesson, and the word uhibbu. So they talked about the word uhibbu. It's a verb, and they made a note in the English key on page 28 for lesson 11 that the object of a verb is in the accusative case. We haven't studied this before, but the object of a verb, the maf'ulun bi, is in the accusative case. It's mansub, and so it takes a fatha ending. The sign of it being mansub is fatha. This fatha does not appear in a noun which has the possessive pronoun of the first person attached to it. When you have ya al-mutakallam connected to a word like bait, baiti, so even if bait was the object of a verb, if you attach ya to it, it's going to lose its fatha because ya al-mutakallam must always be preceded by kasra. So, if you said, I saw the house, you would say, Ra'aytu al-bayta. It's mansub. Maf'ulun bi, the object of the verb, is maf'ulun bi mansub. The sign that it's mansub is fatha. But if you said, instead of, I saw the house, if you said, I saw my house, and you attach ya al-mutakallam to bait, then ya al-mutakallam must be preceded by kasra. So the fatha of bait, yani, because it's mansub, is lost, and it's, yani, taking precedence, the kasra is going to take precedence over the fatha. So you're going to say ra'aytu bayti, not ra'aytu bayta and then e, bayti. Now, so they explain this in the English key. So the two points of this lesson is the prepositions who and ha, third person masculine and feminine singular, who and ha, when they attach to the preposition fi, who becomes he, fi he, and ha remains ha, fi ha, in him or in her or in it, if it's referring to a thing. Also, the second point in the English key here is Yani the object of the verb, because they came with the verb uhibbu, so the object of the verb, the maf'ulun bi, is said to be in the accusative case or mansub. It takes fatha, except when it has the first person singular pronoun, ya al-mutakallam. Except when a noun has ya al-mutakallam attached to it as a suffix, then it loses its fatha sign, showing that it's mansub, and it takes kasra instead. Okay, let's go back to our original lesson after seeing the English key for lesson number 11, which is a review lesson. And it doesn't have any much new points in it. But we see in this lesson on page 16, one page, 2 points. At the top of the page it says, الدرسو الهادية عشرة. الدرسو الهادية عشرة. The 11th lesson. Underneath that it says, في plus ضمير الغائب. يعني when the preposition في, حرف جا في, when it is connected to the third person pronoun, ضمير الغائب. ضمير الغائب. ضمير الغائب means the pronoun for the third person. غائب literally means the one absent. Here it means the one who is being spoken about. The first person is the speaker. The second person is the one being spoken to, and the third person is the one being spoken about. So, Damir al-Ghaib means the pronoun for the third person. So, when fi is connected to the pronoun for the third person, yani the pronoun for the third person, singular, masculine, is hu. And for the feminine, is ha. So, when fi is attached to hu or ha, that's what we're talking about here, okay? So, it says fi plus damiru al-ghaibi, the pronoun for the third person. Fi is harfu jarrin. Harfu jarrin. Yani harfu jarrin means a particle of jar, meaning a preposition. Yani it makes the noun following it, the object of the preposition, it makes it majroor. Why are we calling it harfu jar? Because it makes the noun that follows it, the object of the preposition, it makes that object of the preposition majroor. Yani in the genitive case. And the primary sign of that is that it takes kasra, ends with kasra. So fi is harfu jar. Then it says, damiru al-ghaibi al-mudhakkari. Yani when fi is attached to the damir al-ghaib al-mudhakkar, yani the masculine third person pronoun, it becomes, who becomes he and becomes fi he. Yani the he is originally who. Yani the equivalent of the unattached pronoun huwa. Huwa. Third person, masculine, singular, huwa. So, they're saying here that fi, the harf jar fi, when it's attached to the damiru al-ghaibi al-mudhakkari, it becomes fi hi. Instead of fi hu, fi hi. Okay, this pronoun here, attached to fi, is the possessive pronoun. It's the possessive pronoun. Yani that's normally used to show possession of something, like kitabuhu, qalamuhu, baytuhu. But here it's attached to a preposition. Same pronoun is used here, but here it's attached to the preposition fihi. So it would mean in him or in it, referring to something that is masculine, singular. This pronoun, yani that's attached to this preposition, or when it's attached to a noun, yani pronouns are all mabniyun. So we don't say that it's majroor because it's the object of the preposition. We say it is mabniyun fi mahalli jar. Mabniyun, fixed, its ending is fixed, fi mahalli, in the place where it should be majroor, fi mahalli jar. Okay, so this is in terms of the i'rab of the pronouns. Pronouns are all mabniyun, they're all fixed. The endings don't change. Here, who is changed to he, not because of the yani preposition, but it's changed to he for sound. Just for sound. Because they don't like yani the sound of kasra or ya with sukoon being followed by dhamma. Fi hu. So they say fi he. Fi hum, they say fi him. Like this. Alayhu, they say alayhi. Alayhum, alayhim, like this. Alayhim wassalam. Yani in reference to the prophets, for example. Okay, so the point here is that this pronoun that's attached It can be the object of a preposition, or it can be the mudafun ilayhi, as in kitabuhu, or qalamuhu, or qalamuha, mudafun ilayhi. But we don't say it's mudafun ilayhi majrur, we say it's mabniyun in the place where it should be majrur, fi mahalli jar. Okay, so this is a point, it's not mentioned here, but just as a note to be aware of the i'rab, and we'll go into the details of it in the future. Okay, the second pronoun that they gave us, after damir al-ghaib al-mudhakkar, fihi, they gave us damir al-ghaibi al-mu'annafi, fiha, yani, damir is pronoun, al-ghaib is third person, al-mu'annaf is feminine, feminine, third person pronoun, yani, ha, with the preposition fi, fiha, yani, this ha is equivalent to hiya. In the unattached form of the pronoun. Unattached form of the pronoun. Here. Ha, attached form. Here, unattached form. The next, after this, they give us some examples for these two pronouns. The masculine third person pronoun and the feminine third person pronoun. They give us examples. Baiti fihi. This is the point that we want to look at. Fihi. My house, in it, is hadiqatun. Bayti fihi hadiqatun. In my house, in it, is a garden. That's the first example. Bayti fihi. Yani the he has originally hu, in it. The he is the pronoun hu, referring back to bayt. My house, in it, in my house, is hadiqatun, a garden. Second example. Fasli fihi tullabun. Fasli, yani my fasu, my class, or classroom. Fihi, again the pronoun he originally is who, it's referring back to fasl. Al-faslu means the classroom or the class. Fasli, my classroom. Fihi, in it, is tullabun, students. The next example. Mada fi hadha al-bayti. Fihi أثاثٌ. Again, ماذا في هذا البيت. ماذا يعني is equivalent to saying ما هذا, and it's only used for غير عاقل. ما هذا, what is this, or what is في هذا البيت, what is in this house, what is in this house, يعني what types of things are in this house. Answer, فيه أثاثٌ. فيه أثاثٌ. In it is furniture. Furniture. Or furnishings. Any of the things that? Chairs, tables, and things like this. Beds. Furniture. Or furnishings. أثاثٌ. The next example. من في المكتب. Answer. ما فيه أحدٌ. من في المكتب. Who is in the office. Al-maktab means a desk or a table, and also means an office. Man fil maktabi, who is in the office? Ma fihi ahadun. Ma here is ma and nafia, the ma of negation. This is not the ma al-istifhamiyya, the ma of asking a question. This is ma of negation. Ma fihi ahadun. There's no one in it, yani in the maktab. Ma fihi. Fihi here, the he is the pronoun who, referring back to al-maktab, which is masculine. Ma fihi ahadun. There's no one in it. Okay, here I just want to note, again, that man fil maktab, obviously man is used to ask about the aqil, the human being, who is in the office. Whereas ماذا is used to ask about غير aqil, things. What is in the house? ماذا. ماذا, as we mentioned previously in our earlier lesson, is equivalent to ma hadha, what is this, or what is in this house. Okay, going down to the next line, examples, further examples. Hadiqati, yani under the example man fil maktabi ma fihi ahadun, the next line, hadiqati fiha azharun. Now we're seeing the feminine third person singular pronoun, ha. Hadiqati fiha azharun. My garden in it has, referring back to hadika, which is feminine, fiha, in it, is azharun. Azhar is the plural of zahrun, yani flowers. Azharun, my garden, in it are flowers. Next example. Gurfati fiha nafidhatun. Gurfati fiha nafidhatun. My room, in it, the ha and fiha is referring back to gurfa, which is feminine. Gurfati fiha nafidhatun. My room, in it, is a window. Nafidhatun, a window. Next example. Mada fil haqibati. Mada, what is in al-haqiba? Yani the bag or the briefcase. Fiha kutubun. Again, ha in fiha. The ha is referring back to al-haqiba, which is feminine. Fiha kutubun. In it, yani in the haqiba, are kutub, books. The plural of kitab. The next example, for aqil, men fil maktabati. Men fil maktabati. Who is in the maktaba? The maktaba, al-maktaba, is different from al-maktab. Al-maktab means a desk, table, or an office. Al-maktaba, with ta marbuta, means a library or a bookstore. Men fil maktabati, who is in the library or the bookstore? Ma fiha ahadun. Again, fiha, the ha here is referring back to al-maktabati, which is feminine. Ma fiha ahadun. This ma is ma an-nafiya, the ma of nafi, yani of negation. Ma fiha, there is not in it ahadun, anyone. Okay, so here again they showed us, yani the two pronouns, third person masculine, singular, who, and third person feminine singular, ha. Of course, who, when it's followed by the preposition fi, and that's what they want to show us here, becomes he, so it becomes fihi. So in fihi, in it, masculine, and fiha, in it, feminine. Yani, these are the examples that they want to give us, the third person, masculine and feminine pronouns, singular pronouns, when they connect it to fi. And they gave us various examples, and they showed us when we're asking about ghayr aql things, ماذا في, what is in it, and when they're asking about aql human beings, men في, who is in it, and yani with a number of examples, both for the third person feminine singular and third person masculine singular, with the preposition في, and with the question words asma al-istifham, ماذا for غير aql, and men for aql. The second point of this lesson, number 11, is ya'u al-mutakallimu. Al-mutakallimu, with kasra underneath the shadda on the lam. Al-mutakallimu. Yani means the speaker. Literally, what is intended here is the first person. Yani in terms of pronouns, from different perspectives, they have different divisions. From the perspective of the one who is speaking, being spoken to or being spoken about, we say the first person, second person, and third person. First person is the speaker, al-mutakallimu. Second person is the one being spoken to, al-mukhatab, al-mukhatabu with fatha. And the third person, the one being spoken about, is al-ghaibu. So here we want to talk about the first person, yani pronoun, attached pronoun, known as ya'u al-mutakallimu. Ya al-mutakallimu means the ya that represents the first person, the speaker. And this is the attached form of the pronoun. The unattached form is ana, first person singular. And likewise, ya al-mutakallam is first person singular. Both of them, ana and ya al-mutakallam, are both used for both masculine and feminine. This one is the connected form. Ya al-mutakallam is the connected form. So it's going to be mudhafun ilayhi. Because it's mudhafun ilayhi, it generally should be majroor, but because we said pronouns are all fixed, they're all mabniyun, so we say it is mabniyun in the place where it should be majroor. Yani mabniyun fi mahalli al-jar, in the place where it should be genitive. Okay, so after the title, ya al-mutakallimu, it says, ya al-mutakallimu damirun lil-mutakallimi. It is a pronoun used for the speaker, yani the first person. It's also an attached pronoun, damir muttasil, attached, as opposed to the unattached pronoun damir, munfasil. This is yani muttasil, yani attached pronoun. It's attached to a noun, or attached to a preposition, or attached to yani whatever it may be attached to. Now, it's going to be in the attached form. And it could also be attached to a verb, yes. But of course, if it's attached to a verb, ya al-mutakallim is always going to be separated from the verb by noon, al-wiqaya. We'll talk about that at another time. So what we want to say is, ya al-mutakallim is damirun lil-mutakallimi, a pronoun for the mutakallim, the speaker, the first person. We're going to show, when it's attached to words, that that word, no matter what its position is in the sentence, that word is always going to end with a kesra, because ya al-mutakallam must be preceded by kesra. Even if that word is the mubtada, the subject of the sentence, and the mubtada is always marfoon, but we're not going to see the dhamma if we suffix to it, if we attach at the end of it, ya al-mutakallam. If we attach ya al-mutakallam, we're not going to see the original, yani sign, case ending of its i'rab. If it should be dhamma or fatah, we're not going to see it, because ya al-mutakallam must always be preceded by kasra. Okay, let's see the first line of examples they gave us. Bayti, the word bayt plus ya al-mutakallam, bayti, meaning my house. This is why we call these pronouns, these attached pronouns, possessive pronouns, because when they are attached to a noun, they show possession. Bayti, my house. Next word, ghurfati, my ghurfa, my room. Haqibati, my haqiba, my bag or briefcase. Baladi, my country or my land. Jami'ati, my jami'a, yani my university. Abi, my father. Ummi, with shaddu on the meme. Ummi, my mother. Akhi, my brother. Ukhti, my sister. Okay, we see in all of these cases, each one of these words is ending with a kasra. And that's because ya al-mutakallam must always be preceded by kasra. Even if that word is in the position where it should be, the mubtada, for example, marfu'un, or the khabar, marfu'un, yani we're not going to see it's dhamma. The second line of examples are sentences. Okay, so we're going to see in these sentences that the word that has the ya al-mutakallam suffix to it might be the mubtada. And the mubtada is marfu'un. And the sign that is marfu'un dhamma, but we're not going to see the dhamma. Or it might be the object of a verb. We're going to see a sentence with the word being the object of the verb. Object of the verb is always mansubun, because it's the maf'ulun bihi. Maf'ulun bihi. So the maf'ulun bihi is supposed to be, it is mansub, and the sign that is mansub is fatah, but if it has attached to it ya al-mutakallam, we're not going to see the fatah. We're going to see it as a kasra. Okay, so let's read the next line of examples. Bayti jamilun. Bayti jamilun, meaning my house is beautiful. In this sentence, bayt is the mubtada, and mubtada is always marfu'un. The sign that is marfu'un is dhamma, but we don't see it's dhamma because it has a suffix, ya al-mutakallam, attached to the end of it, so it loses its dhamma and the kasra takes precedence. Bayti jamilun, my house is beautiful. And also jamilun is the khabar. The khabar is also always marfu'un. Sign that is marfu'un is dhamma. We see it's dhamma here. Next sentence. Ghurfati kabiratun. Ghurfati kabiratun. My ghurfa, my room, is big or large. So here we see, yani, that ghurfa is the mubtada. Mubtada is marfu'un. The sign of it being marfu'un should be dhamma, but kasra is taking precedence because yani this word has suffix to it, ya al-mutakallam. The next example, uhibbu baladi. Uhibbu baladi, I love my country. Here, baladi is the maf'ulun bihi. Maf'ulun bihi. And the maf'ulun bihi is always mansub. And the sign that is mansub is fatah. But here we don't see the fatah. Rather, we see kasra taking precedence because this word, balad, is has suffix to the end of it, ya al-mutakallam, which must be preceded by kasra. The next example, jami'ati kabiratun. Jami'ati kabiratun. My university is big. And again, jami'a, in this sentence, is the mubtada. Mubtada is marfoon. The sign that it's marfoon should be dhamma, but because it has suffix to the end of it, ya al-mutakallam, the kasra is taking precedence. The next sentence, uhibbu abi wa ummi. I love my father and my mother. Uhibbu abi wa ummi. I love my father and my mother. Here, yani abi is the maf'ulun bi mansub. The sign that it's mansub is fatha, but we don't see fatha here because it has attached to it. Yani ya mutakallam, which must be preceded by kasra. The last example they gave us on the last line, uhibbu akhi wa ukhti. Uhibbu akhi wa ukhti. I love my brother and my sister. And again, same thing. Yani uhibbu is the fi'l. Akhi is the fa'il is yani dhamir. Mustatir taqdiruhu ana. We'll talk about that at another time. The maf'ulun bi is akh. And akh, yani as being the maf'ulun bi, should be mansub. Sign that it's mansub. Yani the primary sign of the word being mansub is fatha, but because akh is one of the asma al-khamsa, the five special nouns, when they are mansub, their sign of being mansub is alif. But here we don't see the alif. Why? Because ya al-mutakallam is attached. So instead of alif, we see kasra followed by ya al-mutakallam. And likewise, ukhti. I love my brother and my sister. Okay, this is the end of this lesson. Primarily, yani what we wanted to note in this lesson is that ya al-mutakallam is an attached pronoun. When it's attached to the end of a word, that word must end with a kasra. Ya al-mutakallam must always be preceded by kasra. So no matter what is the i'rab of that word, if it's the mubtada marfu'un with dhamma, or the khabar marfu'un with dhamma, or the maf'ulun bihi mansub with fatha, it's going to lose its original, yani ending, being dhamma or fatha, and it's going to be replaced by kasra because of ya al-mutakallam. And the same thing we also want to say about the dhamir al-ghaib, the third person pronoun, masculine and feminine, who and ha, yani, we want to say about them that these pronouns are mabniyun, so even if they're following a preposition, we don't say they're majroor, we say they're in the place where they should be majroor, mabniyun. Mabniyun in the place where they should be majroor, fi mahalli jar. And also we're going to say the pronoun who, when it's preceded by kasra or ya with sukoon, the who becomes he, as in fihi, not fi who. As far as the English key for this lesson, we already looked at it in the beginning before we did the lesson. So, yani primarily it's just showing us the pronouns who and how connected with the preposition fi, fihi and fiha, and also that the object of a verb is mansub, takes fatha, but when it has attached to it, ya al-mutakallam, yani, it loses its fatha, and instead it takes kasra. Okay, let's go to the next lesson, which is lesson 12, on page 17 and 18. Lesson 12. This lesson 12 continues with, yani, the pronouns that we didn't take previously. Like, previously we didn't take the second person feminine singular, anti or ki. Yani anti for the unattached pronoun, and ki, like in kitabu ki, for the attached pronoun. We didn't take that one. Otherwise, we did take the second person masculine singular, anta and ka. And we took, yani, ana as well as a unattached pronoun in lesson 4. Okay, so what's new here is the second person feminine singular, ki, as an attached pronoun, which corresponds with nt as an unattached pronoun, as we see in this lesson here. We'll see it in this lesson here. Alright, so basically this lesson, in addition to the pronouns, is going to also show us the feminine form of the past tense verb, third person feminine singular. Yani we had kharaja before. In this lesson we're going to get kharajat. Yani here, huwa kharaja, here, kharajat. And also in this lesson we're going to see the feminine counterpart of the relative pronoun, al-ism, al-mawsool, al-ladhi. We had previously, in this lesson we have al-lati. Alright, so that's what this lesson contains. Let's look, and at the top of the lesson, الدرسو الثانية عشرة, the 12th lesson. The title of this first point is كافو المخاطبي. كافو المخاطبي, with فتح on the top. فتح. كاف المخاطبي means the letter كاف. It could have a فتح as in كا, كتابو كا, or it could have a كسرة as in كي, كتابو كي. قلمو كا, قلمو كي. With فتح it means the second person, masculine singular, corresponding to أنت, كا. With كسرة, كي, يعني, it means second person, feminine, singular, corresponding to أنت, أنت. يعني, as in كتابك, or قلمك, or بيتك. Okay? So, the كاف المخاطبة means the كاف that's used to represent the second person pronoun. Possessive pronoun, attached pronoun, that's attached to a noun, or attached to a preposition, or even it can be, yani, attached to a verb. We're not going to see that now, though. Second person, masculine and feminine, singular pronoun. كاف المخاطبي. So it says under that title, كافو المخاطبي is ضميرٌ للمخاطبي. It's a pronoun that's used for the one who's being spoken to, second person. This type of pronoun, the كاف المخاطب, is attached to the noun. So we say this is an attached pronoun, ضمير متصل, as opposed to the unattached pronoun that corresponds to it, يعني, which would be أنت or أنت, يعني, those are from the ضمائر المنفصلة, unattached. Anta and anti is unattached pronoun. Here we have ka and ki, which is dhamair al-muttasila, attached pronoun. These pronouns, when they are attached to a noun, are also, yani, known as being dhamir al-jar, because they are showing possession. So it's mudhafun ilayhi. Mudhafun ilayhi is going to be attached to a noun, mudhafun ilayhi, in the position where it should be majrur, because mudaf ilayhi is majrur, right? But pronouns are all mabniun, fixed. So we say it is, yani, mabniun fi mahalli jar, yani, fixed. Its ending is fixed, but it's in the place where it should be jar, yani, majrur, genitive case. So these are attached pronouns. They show possession. They're in the position where they should be majrur because they're mudaf ilayhi. So we say they are mabniun fi mahalli جر. Okay, so there are two ways to look at the pronouns so far that we have talked about. The first way to look at them is that they are first person, second person, and third person. يعني متكلم, مخاطب, and غائب. Another way to look at them is that they are attached or unattached. In lesson 4 we had unattached pronouns. أنا, أنت, هو, and هي. And now we are seeing attached pronouns. يا المتكلم, كا, كي, هو, and ها. Okay, so these are two ways of looking at the pronouns. Attached or unattached. Another way to look at them is first person, second person, and third person. And a third way to look at them is whether or not they are in the position where they should be, marfu'un, or mansubun, or majrurun. And we'll talk about that when we come to examples of it later on. Okay, let's go back again to the beginning of the lesson, كاف المخاطبة. كاف المخاطبي, يعني, is, كاف المخاطبي, is ضميرٌ للمخاطب. It's the pronoun that's used for the مخاطب, the second person, the one that's being spoken to. Now they give us the masculine form. ضميرُ المخاطبي المذكري. يعني the masculine, second person pronoun. المذكر, masculine. المخاطب, second person. ضمير, pronoun. Example. ما اسمك؟ Huh? This is the second person. The masculine second person pronoun. ما اسمك. And if we read the two words together, we say ما اسمك. ما اسمك. What is your name? The كا here is the second person, يعني, masculine pronoun. يعني, singular. Masculine pronoun. Another example. كيف حالك. Again, the كا here. كيف حالك يا أبي. How are you? Oh, my father. So here, the ka and haluka is the masculine second person pronoun. Another example. Baytuka, jamilun. The ka and baytuka, again, is the masculine second person pronoun. Baytuka, jamilun. Your house is beautiful. Next line. Alaka, yani here the ka and laka. Alaka hadha al-qalamu ya khalidu. Alaka hadha al-qalamu ya khalidu. Is this pen for you? Is this your pen? Alaka. Is this for you? Hadha al-qalamu, this pen? Ya khalidu. Is this pen for you or belonging to you? Yani another word, this sentence could be expressed. Ahadha al-qalamu laka. Is this pen belonging to you? Ya khalidu. But in any case, you can reverse the order sometimes. The yani khabar of a sentence can precede it. It's permissible as long as it's clear, as long as the meaning remains clear. Alaka hadha al-qalamu, same meaning. Ahadha al-qalamu laka. Ya Khalidu, does this pen belong to you, O Khalid? The point here is that the preposition li attached to the yani second person masculine pronoun ka becomes alaka. Li becomes la because whenever the preposition li is attached to the attached pronouns, the kasra becomes fatha. Except in the case of the first person, singular, yani ya al mutakallam, because it must always be preceded by kasra, so the kasra remains. Otherwise, the other attached pronouns, when they are attached to the preposition li, the kasra of li becomes la. That's why you have laka, yani. Is it belonging to you, yani this pen, O Khalid? Yani the laka, the la here is originally the preposition li. Does it belong to you, this pen? Does this pen belong to you, O Khalid? Okay, now we look at the feminine forms for the yani feminine second person pronoun, ki. Yani corresponding to anti. As an attached pronoun, it is ki. Okay, so it says, damiru al-mukhatabi al-mu'annafi. Yani al-mu'annaf, the feminine, al-mukhatab, second person, the mere pronoun. Feminine, second person pronoun. Example, masmuki, yani ma ismuki, what is your name? Next example, kaifa haluki, ya ummi. Again, the key here is the feminine second person pronoun. Kaifa haluki, how are you, speaking to a female? Ya ummi, O my mother. Next example. Baytuki jamilun. Baytuki jamilun. Your house is beautiful. Here the ki again is the feminine second person pronoun. And it's attached. And it's showing possession. Because baytuki means your house. Showing possession. The house belongs to you. So it is, in this example, baytuki, it is the mudaf ilayhi. Pronouns are mabniun, so we say mudafun ilayhi mabniun in the place where it should be majroor, in the place where it should be genitive. The kasra is not a sign that it's in the genitive. The kasra is the original form of the feminine second person pronoun ki, anti ki. Okay, so baytu ki jamilun. Baytu is the mubtada marfuun with dhamma. Ki is mudafun ilayhi mabniun fi mahalli jar. Fixed in the place where it should be majroor, and jamilun is the khabarun marfoon with dhamma. The last example, alaki hadha al-qalamu ya fatimatu, yani O Fatima, alaki, does it belong to you, hadha al-qalamu, this pen? And again, this sentence could be rewritten, ahadha al-qalamu laki ya fatimatu, yani does this pen belong to you, O Fatima? Okay, so these are examples of the second person, masculine and feminine pronouns, attached pronouns, ka and ki, corresponding to anta and anti. طيب. Let's go to the next point here. Yani now they're showing us two pronouns, which perhaps we should represent them as three, right? Because they're going to give us examples of three. Ana and anta or anti. Yani the second one can be anta or anti, because both of these are going to be explained here below. anta and anti. So actually we have three, yani personal pronouns, the unattached pronouns. Ana, I or I am, and anta, you masculine, anti, you feminine. These are, yani from the unattached pronouns, الضمائر المنفصلة, منفصلة, unattached, as opposed to the attached pronouns that we saw up, just above, the متصلة, these are منفصلة. And these are, from the perspective of إعراب, these are, يعني دمير رف, or دمائر الرف, pronouns that are مرفوعون, because they are used as a subject. Okay, they are used as a subject. أنا, يعني أنا طالب, أنت طالب, هو مهندس, هي مهندسة. Okay, they are used as, يعني, a subject. So the subject, مبتدا, is always مرفوعون. So these are pronouns of رف. But we don't say they are marfoon, because all pronouns are mabniyun, fixed. So we say the mabniyun in the place where they should be marfoon. Fi mahalli arraf. Fi mahalli raf. Okay, let's look at these. Yani ana wa anta or anti. These three pronouns. Ana, it says here, ana damirun lil mutakallimi. It's the pronoun used for the mutakallim, the first person or the speaker. Now we saw that ya al-mutakallim is also damirun lil-mutakallimi, but that's for the attached pronouns, muttasila, and this is for the unattached pronouns, munfasila. Ana damirun lil-mutakallimi, it is the personal pronoun used for the first person or the speaker. Then it says, anta damirun lil-mukhatabi, it's the pronoun for the one who is being spoken to, or the second person. So this represents both anta, masculine, and anti, feminine, as we'll see in the examples that follow. Anta and anti, both of them are for second person pronouns. Anta for masculine, anti for feminine. So let's look at the examples they gave us. Al-mutakallimu, al-mudhakkaru, wal-mu'annathu. Yani, the pronoun ana is al-mutakallimu, the first person or the speaker, used both for al-mudhakkar, masculine, al-mu'annath, feminine. Yani, the mutakallam, mudhakkar, mu'annath, is ana. Yani, the pronoun ana. Okay, that's used both for al-mudhakkar, masculine, and al-mu'annath, feminine. Examples. Ana talibun. Here, ana is being used for masculine, right? Because it can be used for masculine and feminine. Here, it's used for masculine. Ana talibun. I am a student. Second example, ana talibatun. The same ana is used now for feminine though, because talibatun is feminine. So the male can say ana talibun using ana, and the female can also say ana talibatun using ana. The same ana is used by the male saying I am a student, and the female saying I am a female student. Next example, ana muhammadun. I am Muhammad. The next example, ana khadijatu. I am Khadija. So a person can speak about themself. A male can say Ana Muhammadun, and a female can say Ana Khadijatun. So Ana is used both. The point here is what? The Ana is used both for Al-Mudhakkar, masculine, Al-Mu'annath, feminine. The next line shows us Al-Mukhatabu, Al-Mudhakkaru. Yani the second person pronoun for the masculine is Anta. Anta. Examples. Anta Muhandisun. You are a muhandis, an engineer. Anta tabibun. Anta tabibun. You are a doctor, a physician. Man anta? Who are you? That's the question. Man anta? Man is used for akil, people. A anta mudarrisun? This is also a question. Used with Hamzat al-Istifham, the Hamza that's used to ask a question. A anta mudarrisun? Are you a teacher? Taib, here, these are all examples of the second person pronoun, yani the masculine second person pronoun. Al-mudhakkar, for al-mudhakkar, anta. Now we see that the same pronoun with kasra, anti, is also mukhatab. Al-mukhatab, al-mu'annath, is anti. Anti is used for the second person feminine pronoun. They gave us examples. Anti muhandisatun. You, speaking to a female, you are a muhandisa, yani a female engineer. Anti tabibatun. You, again speaking to a female, second person, directly speaking to a female. Anti tabibatun. You are a female doctor. Man anti. Who are you when you're speaking to a female? If you were speaking to a male, you say man anta. Speaking to a female, man anti. A anti mudarrisatun. Are you a female teacher? Are you a female teacher? Okay, so here they're giving us the unattached pronouns. First person, ana, used for masculine and feminine. Second person, anta, for mudhakkar, and anti, for mu'annath. Again, in this lesson 12, and in the lessons that follow, 13, 14, and 15, we're going to see the rest of the pronouns. The attached pronouns, like ka and ki, and the unattached pronouns, like anta and anti. We're going to see all the pronouns for first person, for second person, for third person, attached and unattached. Yani the attached pronouns are basically possessive pronouns, yani from what we have seen so far, and the unattached pronouns are yani personal pronouns, yani which are yani in the nominative case, marfu'un, the unattached pronouns, like ana and anta and anti and huwa and hiya. And we're going to see the plurals as well. Singular, dual, and plural. First person, second person, third person. Attached and unattached pronouns. The next point that we have in this lesson is the bottom half of the page, or the bottom portion of the page, bottom third of the page. Ta'anithu al-fa'ili. Al-fa'il is the verb, the word that represents action. Al-fa'ili. By the way, the verb should have three essential components in the Arabic language. Either clearly, yani represented, or understood. The first is that it's an action word, it must show action. The second, it has to show the time of the action, past tense, present tense. And the third thing is that it must show the doer of the action. The fa'il shows the doer of the action. Is it a first person, second person, or third person? And is it singular, dual, or plural? Okay, so there are three aspects, three elements, essential elements for the fa'il. The fa'il in Arabic. A fa'il in Arabic must show, yani an action, must show who's doing the action, and it must also show the time of the action. Yani is it past tense or present tense? Here we're talking about the one who does that action, the fa'il. Al-fa'il. Okay? So, the fa'il, yani must tell us if the one who's doing the action is masculine or feminine. So here we want to see, yani, what does the verb look like when the fa'il is feminine? Ta'anithu al-fa'ili. Yani, making the fa'il feminine. The feminine form of the fa'il. So previously we had only masculine forms of the past tense verb. Kharaja, dakhala, yani taraka, and so on. Now we want to see the feminine form, yani which is represented by adding the ta'anith, the ta that represents femininity, yani the open ta. On a verb, it's going to be a ta with sukoon, a regular open ta. Not ta al-marbuta, but a regular open ta, regular ta that has sukoon. Okay, so let's look at yani the definition here. It says al-fa'il, al-fa'ilu, yani the subject, the doer of the action of the fa'il, of the verb, the fa'il, huwa alladhi yaqa'u ba'da al-fa'li. Yani it is the word that occurs, yaqa'u, occurs ba'da, after al-fa'li. Huwa alladhi, yani the fa'il, it is alladhi, that which, because we're referring to a thing, not a human being, it is that which, yaqa'a, occurs ba'da, after al-fa'li. So the normal sequence of words in a verbal sentence, jumla fa'liya, is the fa'il, the fa'il, and the maf'ulun bi. Yani the verb, the subject, doer of the action, and the object of the verb. So that's why he's saying here, huwa alladhi yaqa'a ba'da al-fa'l, because the normal order of the verbal sentence is the verb comes first and then the fa'il follows it. Otherwise, we could say that the meaning of fa'il is the doer of the action, the one that does the action of that verb. The one that does the action of that verb. الفاعل هو الذي يقع بعد الفعل. As in خرج محمد. خرج is the فعل. If you look underneath it, it says an arrow pointing to فعل. خرج is the فعل and محمد is the فاعل. And the فاعل, by the way, is always like the مبتدأ and خبر. The فاعل is always مرفوع. Primary sign of being مرفوع, as we see here, is ضمة. Now we see the feminine form of the verb for the فاعل that's feminine. خرجت آمينة. خرجت is the فعل and آمينة. آمينة with a single vowel without تنوين. يعني feminine proper nouns do not take تنوين. آمينة is the فاعل. So we see خرج is changed to خرجت. يعني adding a تاء with سكون. And this would be the same thing for any verb. ذهب ذهبت. دخل دخلت. يعني هو خرج. هي خرجت. Alright? So what we want to say here is that يعني the feminine form of the verb is that we add a ta with sukoon. So it changes from يعني third person masculine singular خرج to third person feminine singular خرجت. Okay, after this they give us some examples on the bottom of the page. ذهب سعيد. ذهب is the فعل. سعيد is the فاعل masculine. يعني سعيد went. يعني went away. خرج أخي. My brother went out. Here I want to distinguish between ذهب, which means simply to go away, and خرج means to go out. يعني to leave a place, to go outside of it. يعني ذهب simply means someone went away. Maybe they didn't go outside. They just went away from this part of the room to another part of the room. But if they went out of the room, then you don't say ذهب. You say خرجت. ذهب, he went away. خرج, he went out. Okay, so خرج is the فعل. أخي is the فاعل. Next example. خرجت أمي. يعني تاء with سكون. Feminine, third person form of the ماضي verb. خرجت أمي. My mother went out. Next example. ذهب الطالب. ذهب الطالب. يعني the male student went. يعني went away. ذهبت الطالبة. ذهبت الطالبة. يعني the female student went away. Notice here that the sukoon of the ta is replaced with the kasra here. Okay, we said that the feminine form of the third person, past tense verb, third person feminine, is ta with sukoon. But here we see a kesra, and that's because, yani whenever two letters with sukoon, it's called the meeting of two second letters. Two letters with sukoon come back to back. In Arabic they say iltiqa'u, the meeting of a sakinain, two letters with sukoon. Then we have to remove that meeting of two letters with sukoon. So the first of them, we're going to add a vowel to it. So the vowel kesra is added here in order to eliminate there being two letters with sukoon coming back to back. The ta with sukoon followed by, yani, the lam of alif lam. The lam of alif lam also has sukoon. Yani, the alif of alif lam is just hamzatul wasl. It's just used for joining. It's not going to have a vowel if there's something before it. You're only going to pronounce this vowel if you begin the sentence with that word. So here we have the lam with sukoon, yani following the ta with sukoon. That's the meeting of two letters with sukoon. Iltiqa sakinain has to be eliminated, so we add kasra. So whenever you see the verb, yani like ذهبت, خرجت, دخلت, yani أكلت, whenever you see that verb, third person feminine, singular form of the verb, whenever you see that ta with sukoon being followed by a letter with sukoon, then we're going to add kasra to it. Okay, this is yani the rule, yani that when you have two second letters meeting, you eliminate it by adding a vowel. And this is actually explained on the next page as a rule, the bottom of page 18. Okay, so let's just look at that rule. Turn to page 18 because we're going to go to page 18 now. Before we read the top of page 18, let's read the rule that we just talked about. On the bottom of page 18 it says, ذهبتي الطالبتو. ذهبتي الطالبتو. أصله ذهبت. Yani its original form is ذهبت الطالبات, but when you have ذهبت ending with سكون followed by ألف لام which begins with سكون, then يعني we eliminate the meeting of two ساكن letters, التقاء ساكنين, we eliminate that by adding a كسرة to the تاء with سكون. That's the rule. Please pay attention to that rule if you were not already يعني familiar with it or clear on it. Okay, now we're going to the top of page 18 to finish this lesson. يعني the final point of this lesson is الذي and التي. Previously we had الذي, and now we see its counterpart, feminine counterpart, التي. التي. They said الذي is اسم موصول للمفرد المذكري العاقلي وغير العاقلي. يعني الذي is اسم موصول, a relative pronoun, للمفرد for the singular, المذكر masculine, العاقلي وغير العاقلي for the عاقل and غير عاقل, intelligent and non-intelligent, rational and irrational being. Okay, whereas التي is اسم موصول like الذي, للمفرد like الذي, but here the difference from الذي المؤنث. المؤنث الذي is for المذكر and التي is for المؤنث, and both of them are for عاقلي وغير عاقلي. So التي is اسم موصول, relative pronoun, للمفرد for singular, not for dual or plural, المؤنث for feminine, not for masculine, and both for عاقل and غير عاقل, يعني humans and other than humans. Now we look at examples, first for the masculine الذي, and then the after some examples for that, we'll look at examples for the feminine التي. Okay, examples, third line, examples for الاسم الموصول المذكر العاقل. Okay, this is for the masculine relative pronoun in using it with عاقل, because remember it can be used with عاقل and غير عاقل. So right now what we're concerned about, this is the relative pronoun that's masculine. We're going to show examples when it's used with عاقل, and then examples when it's used with غير عاقل. And then we'll look at the feminine relative pronoun used with عاقل and غير عاقل examples. Okay, so the first example is for what? الاسم الموصول المذكر العاقل. يعني the relative pronoun for that which is masculine and عاقل, rational. الفتى الذي خرج الآن ابن عمي. الفتى الذي خرج الآن ابن عمي. الفتى, the young man, الذي, who, خرج الآن, went out just now, is ابن عمي, the son of my uncle, paternal uncle. Is the son of my paternal uncle, يعني my cousin, we would say for short in English. الفتى الذي. Here الذي is used for عاقل. Why? Because it's referring to الفتى, the young man. الذي خرج, who went out, الآن, just now, is ابن عمي, the son of my paternal uncle. Second example. And by the way, in this sentence, in terms of the إعراب of the sentence, الفتى is the مبتدا, ابن is the خبر, عمي is مضاف إليه, and الذي خرج الآن is the اسم موصول and the صلة الموصول. يعني it's the relative pronoun and the information that it brings with it. That is information about the مبتدا الفتى. الفتى is the مبتدا, ابن is the خبر. And the rest of what's in between them is the relative pronoun and the information that it brings, the صلة الموصول. Okay, let's look at the next sentence. من الرجل الذي جلس في الحديقة. من الرجل الذي جلس في الحديقة. Who is the رجل, the man, الذي, who, جلس, sat, في الحديقة, in the garden. Who is the man who sat in the garden? Again, here الذي is the relative pronoun, it's referring back to masculine, الرجل, عاقل. Okay, so it's used here for المذكر and العاقل. Let's look at examples for مذكر غير عاقل. الاسم الموصول المذكر غَيْرُ الْعَاقِلِ for other than عَاقِل, يعني for other than irrational or non-rational, non-intelligent. The relative pronoun for masculine, يعني irrational object, non-human. الْقَلَمُ الَّذِي مَعَكَ مَكْسُورٌ. الْقَلَمُ is the مُبْتَدَى. الَّذِي is the relative pronoun. مَعَكَ is the صِلَةُ الْمَوْصُولِ. And maksurun is the khabar. What's important here is al-qalamu is the mubtada and maksurun is the khabar. That's what's important. That's the complete sentence. Mubtada and khabar. Subject and predicate. Al-qalamu maksurun. The pen is broken. Al-ladhi is a relative pronoun that brings us more information about the mubtada. Which qalam is broken? Al-ladhi ma'aka. The one which is with you. Alright? The one which is with you. Without the relative pronoun and the silatul mausul, the sentence is complete. Al-qalamu maksurun. The pen is broken. This is just extra information. Second example. Liman al-kitabu alladhi ala al-maktabi. Liman al-kitab alladhi ala al-maktabi. To whom belongs the book which is on the maktab? Again, this is غير عاقل. Alladhi is used for غير عاقل because it's referring to what? Al-kitab. Liman al-kitab. Here's another example of iltiqa sakinain. The original form of men, asluhu is, yani noon with sukoon. Limen, noon with sukoon. But here we see, limen il kitab. We see that the noon with sukoon is taking kasra. Why? Because noon with sukoon, followed by lam with sukoon, is the meaning of two sakin letters. And in Arabic, when you have the meaning of two sakin letters, iltiqa'u as-sakinaini, then the first of the sakin letters is going to take a vowel. In this case, it takes kasra. لمن الكتاب. To whom belongs الكتاب, the book, الذي, which is على المكتب, on the desk. Okay? So again, يعني the point here is that الذي can be used for عاقل and غير عاقل. These are examples for غير عاقل. Now let's go to the feminine relative pronoun. الاسم الموصول المؤنث العاقل. Yani, the relative pronoun that is feminine and for aqil. And then we'll see examples for غير aqil as well. For aqil, feminine aqil, al-fatatu التي خرجت الآن بنت عمي. The young lady, التي, yani who, خرجت, went out, الآن, just now, is بنت عمي, the daughter of my uncle, my paternal uncle. بنت عمي. And again, al-fatat is the mubtada, marfu'un with dhamma, and bintu is the khabar, marfu'un with dhamma. The rest of it is extra. Yani ammi is mudafun ilayhi, and allati kharajat al-ana is the ism mawsool, wasilatul mawsool. What is important is that the sentence here originally is al-fatatu bintu, yani the young lady is the daughter of ammi, my paternal uncle. So, التي here is feminine because it's referring back to الفتاتو, which is a female, a young lady. Alright? And here we see it being used for عاقل. And we'll see in examples later for غير عاقل. Second example for عاقل, من المدرسة التي جلست في الحديقة. من المدرسة. Who is the female teacher? التي, who, because التي is being used here for عاقل, right? Feminine عاقل, يعني مؤنث العاقل. من المدرسة التي جلست في الحديقة. Who is the female teacher who sat in the garden? Okay, now examples for غير عاقل. الاسم الموصول المؤنث, feminine relative pronoun, غير العاقل, for non irrational, non-rational, non-intelligent, yani non-human beings. Okay, it's going to be used for objects. As-sa'atu allati ma'aka maksuratun. As-sa'atu allati ma'aka maksuratun. Again, in this sentence, as-sa'atu is the mubtada marfu'un with dhamma, and maksuratun is the khabar marfu'un with dhamma. The rest of it is the relative pronoun and the information that it brings. As-sa'atu allati ma'aka maksuratun. The watch or the clock. Which, allati, which is feminine, yani غير عاقل, as-sa'a. the watch which is with you is broken. The last example, لمن الحقيبة لمن الحقيبة التي على المكتب. لمن, to whom belongs الحقيبة, the bag or briefcase, التي, يعني it's referring to feminine الحقيبة and غير عاقل. To whom belongs the حقيبة التي, which is على المكتب, on the table. Okay, again التي here is being used an example of feminine, اسم موصول المؤنث feminine, غير عاقل, الحقيبة, non-human. And the last sentence is the rule for التقاء ساكنين, which we discussed previously. So I just want to say on this page here, what we want to note is that the relative pronoun can be masculine or feminine. الذي for masculine, التي for feminine, and we'll see later on it can also be singular, dual, or plural as well. Singular, dual, or plural as well. These are the singulars for masculine and feminine, الذي and التي. If it's referring to an عاقل, we say who. If it's referring to غير عاقل, we say which or that which. I hope that this is clear. And of course, this is a review, right? So hopefully, yani we already knew this before, and it is just a reminder for us and a review of what we already learned. Okay, we're going to just quickly look at the English key for lesson number 12 on page 30 and 31. The first point is the separate personal pronoun NT for second person, feminine singular, and the attached pronoun ki, the possessive pronoun ki, as in baytu ki. The second point, which we covered already, the second point is that in this lesson we learn the third person feminine singular form of the verb for hiya, dhahabat, which ends with ta, with sukun. We had previously had dhahaba and dhahabtu and dhahabta, and now we have dhahabat. Here we want to note that if the subject is mentioned in the sentence, yani, if we had, for example, أين آمينتو, where is Amina? ذهبت إلى الجامعة, she went to the university. But if the subject is mentioned after the verb, then she, the pronoun she, is not mentioned. So if you said, yani, أين آمينتو, and you said, ذهبت آمينتو إلى الجامعة, then you wouldn't say, she Amina went. You drop the she and you just use the subject if it is mentioned. And also they mention here that this form of the verb ذهبت, خرجت, جلست ends with ta, with sukun. If a verb like this is followed by alif lam or any letter that begins with a sukun, then the sukun is changed to kasra. And then they also mention yani the relative pronouns الذي and التي, which we mentioned already. And the last point that they mention on page 31 is the pronoun that is used for emphasis, as in هذا كتابك أنت. ك represents second person masculine singular, and أنت represents second person masculine singular. So it's just repetitious, but this repetition is for emphasis. هذا كتابك means this is your book. هذا كتابك أنت also means this is your book, but it's emphasized here. This is your book. I want to emphasize كتابك أنت. Here أنت has been added for emphasis. This is used in case there is doubt or dispute. And this can also be done with other pronouns. هذا بيته هو, هذا قلمي أنا, ذلك كتابها هي. Okay, this is the end of what we wanted to do in terms of the lessons for today. Lesson number 11 and lesson number 12. We have just a few moments remaining, 5 minutes, so let us look at some of the extra exercises that we would normally do if we have time at the end of the lesson. So we're going to do, the first exercise that we're going to do is going to be, right, the vocabulary quiz review. Let's quickly look at some of the vocabulary from these two lessons and see, yani, how we are doing with our vocabulary. Okay, we're going to look at vocabulary from lesson 12 because lesson 11 is just a review lesson. So in lesson 12 we had some vocabulary words. Let's see if we know some of them. This is just a vocabulary quiz review. Just listen and translate without writing. Okay, we don't want to take the time to write. We want to quickly go through a few of these words and see if you know the meanings. As-shajaratu, without looking at the book. As-shajaratu. As-shajaratu means the tree. Al-madrasatu. Al-madrasatu means the school. Al-addaftaru. Addaftaru. Addaftaru means the notebook. Al-ammu. Al-ammu means yani uncle, paternal uncle. Its feminine form, al-ammatu. Al-ammatu with ta marbuta. Al-khalu. Al-khalu means uncle, maternal uncle, yani your mother's brother. The feminine form, al-khalatu. Al-khalatu, maternal aunt. Mustashfa. Mustashfa means hospital. And mustashfa al-wiladati. Mustashfa al-wiladati means the hospital where childbirth takes place, maternity hospital. Ummun means mother, and its plural is what? What is the plural of ummun? Yani, ummahatun. Also the word wazirun. Wazirun means a minister in the government, not a minister in the church. And its plural is what? The plural of wazirun is wuzara'u. The next word, qawiyun. Qawiyun with shadda on the ya means strong. And its plural, the plural of qawiyun, aqwiya'u. Aqwiya'u. Okay, this is what we had time to cover for today. We still have 2 minutes. Okay, so let's do a listening exercise. Yani, what I want you to do is just listen. We're not going to do dictation today. I want you to just listen. Do not look at the book and do not write anything. Just translate orally to yourself without looking at the book. Okay? Sentences that we had today. Hadiqati fiha azharun. Again, hadiqati fiha azharun. Yani, my garden, in it are flowers. Ghurfati fiha nafidhatun. Again, ghurfati fiha nafidhatun. Meaning, my room, in it, is a window. Again, without looking at the book, you're just listening, okay? This is a listening exercise to see if you can understand what you hear. Next example. Mada fil haqibati. Mada fil haqibati. Meaning, what is in the haqiba, the bag or briefcase? Answer, fiha kutubun. Fiha kutubun. In it, yani in the haqiba, are books. Couple more examples and then we'll finish with this. Bayti jamilun. Bayti jamilun. My house is beautiful. Ghurfati kabiratun. Ghurfati kabiratun. My room is big. Uhibbu baladi. Uhibbu baladi. I love my country. Jami'ati kabiratun. Jami'ati kabiratun. My university is big. Uhibbu abi wa ummi. Uhibbu abi wa ummi. I love my father and my mother. And finally, uhibbu akhi wa ukhti. Uhibbu akhi wa ukhti. I love my brother and my sister. We're going to stop with this. Subhanak Allahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant ease to every one of us that's experiencing some difficulty, and to heal those who are sick, and to keep us firm upon His way, yani upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani doing whatever we do sincerely for His sake alone, and that He accept from us our good deeds, yani record and reward our good deeds and multiply them, and allow us to return to Him in a condition that's pleasing to Him, being pleased with Him. Ameen ya Rabbal Alameen.